From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. By the way, listeners, I'm here with Kristen and Mogab, which is the strangest first name I've ever heard, which I'm told is Kristen's fault somehow. So we're going to be talking about their podcast, True Crime Keepers.
Creepers.
But when that clap that everybody just heard comes in handy is when, like, because sometimes we'll get on, we'll be chatting, and, like, three people will be fixing their audio, and it's like, okay, now everybody's rolling. And then the audio, like, everybody's recording started at a different time. Right. And then she could take those claps and, like, at least get close to where everybody starts.
Because they look different on the recording. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that little spike in there.
Yeah.
So what the fuck, Mogab?
Yeah.
What's your deal?
Okay. What is my deal? Thank you for asking. Thank you so much. My deal is, it's my last name. And in college, you don't really get to choose what people call you. You show up on the scene.
Right.
Decisions are made for you. I've been called that my whole life. My own family calls me that, and we all got the same last name. So I just try as I might. It happened. And then I joined a sorority, and that's how everyone knows you. And it's catchy. It's quick. It's easy.
It's unique.
See, I disagree. And this is why. Now, let's say your last name was...
It's fine. You're going to get flamed for it, but it's okay.
Let's say your last name was, like, Boone, or even Ruff, for example. That's just quick. One syllable rolls off the tongue.
I know. I do love Ruff. I think of all the things you could do with that.
No, it's
so
a
good.
Great.
Right. There's
a,
so and great. People have done it all. Yeah.
Mogab,
it's two syllables. It's a word I've never heard before, much less a name. It seems like an odd thing for people to take as that's. And now you say you went to college. So I had a similar experience, but you say you went to college, and when you got there, they decided you were Mogab.
I disagree. Yeah. You introduced yourself.
I
to
declare
me as
shenanigans.
Yes.
Okay. I guess maybe high school. I was just having this conversation because my fiance's childhood home was shipped here. We were going through boxes. I found his Letterman jacket. We talked a lot about how Letterman jackets have your name on the back. And I don't know if that's where it started, but I really don't think I could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, did your fiance used to live in a tiny little house?
Will you believe me? And if we just put that on the record?
Yeah, they shipped his house to your house.
Yeah. Well, his parents are retiring and they moved and it was the only house. They raised all three kids. He lived there for 31 years. So a pod showed up here
with the house inside.
Sports. Yes. All his childhood. In this box.
Yeah.
So. And
they lived in a shoe.
Yeah,
is it shoe-shaped house? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Mogab.
Yeah.
Getting back to your name, which is the most important part of this podcast.
Yes.
Let me give you my experience and why I think that I think maybe you're full of shit about this college Mogab thing.
It wouldn't be the first time, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I grew up as Bobby. Everyone knew me as Bobby. Bobby Ruff. That's what everyone knew me as.
Okay.
Right. And you can imagine when I get to be about 13 and I'm like, stop calling me Bobby. That's awful. But it didn't matter. That was stuck. That's my childhood name all through high school. Well, then I leave Michigan and I go to college in Colorado. Nobody knows me.
Yeah.
So they're like, what's your name? And so I got to pick what my name was. Mm-hmm. And so I said, Robert. My name is Robert.
Oh, that's so a big jump. Bobby to Robert? You didn't even stop in the middle with Bob. It was, you were like, this is it.
Well,
it's my moment.
Bob makes sense now. I'm a 43-year-old, graying, overweight man. That looks like a Bob. But an 18-year-old, Bob doesn't, it seems too old.
Yeah.
So Robert seemed like, so everyone called me Robert. Then I moved back here years later. I became a fireman. Now, at that point, there's no Roberts or Trevors or Tanners or any of that shit on the fire department.
Yep.
And so those old guys, they're like, what's your name? I'm Robert. okay, Bob, let's go. Or Ruff, yeah. They called me. So, Ruff. So then,
yeah.
Ruff's yeah, a great name.
That makes sense. So, so you went to college and you said, my name's Samantha.
No.
Samantha Mogab. And they're like, you know what sounds more fun to say and just rolls off the tongue better? Mogab.
Okay. But Bob, I left out an important detail. I came to college with my best friend from high school. So that I didn't get to like really reinvent myself, but I moved to Columbus,
right.
Ohio,
uh-huh.
from Texas. And I was like, no one knows me here. This is my time. And I was like, Samantha.
But then you brought your buddy with you. Now, see, now, you know, I apologize right. because now it's coming together. I can see how that would happen.
Yeah.
Once
so I reinvented myself in my Columbus, Ohio experience. And that's where the struggle is now is people are like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah. Right.
Makes total sense. There's a second part to this podcast with a much less interesting name. It's Kristen.
Yes.
Kristen,
yes.
What'd you go by in college?
I went, there was K Willie, K Dub a lot, because there were five Kristens in our sorority. So we quickly had to have our own unique identities. So.
So you were K Dub.
K Dub.
K Dub and Mogab.
I gave her that.
Why doesn't.
You gave me K Willie.
Oh.
And we were not going to go. You're the only person that calls me that.
I'm still trying to make that happen.
Yeah, you are.
Why is the podcast? So it seems to me, and we'll get into this, but it seems to me that Kristen's the driver of making this podcast happen.
Oh, yeah. Thank based God. On the,
based yes. on the copious notes that I have from Erica.
Bob, I wanted so nothing decide. To do with this. I wanted no part.
Right. Still don't. You don't want to be here right now.
I know. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah.
Right. So Kristen decides you're going to be Mogab on the podcast and I'm going to be. Why isn't it Mogab and K Willie?
Yeah. Why not, Kristen?
It's alphabetical order.
Well, why isn't it K Willie and Mogab?
Oh, because really people did not call me. They called me K Dub very sporadically. It was clearly a nickname. Mogab was her name. Like, nobody called her anything but Mogab. She was like, that was her identity. And then she moves off to Columbus, Bob, and starts pulling this Samantha crap. And I'm like, not about it. So.
Yeah, not happening.
She'll always be Mogab to me.
Do you know how unfair it is, too? Like, Kristen Williams, there's thousands of them.
Oh, there's a Facebook group. Right. I was in a Facebook group called My Name is Kristen Williams. There was like 500 of
us. So when she goes off the rails and says whatever she wants and someone wants to, you know, talk about her on the internet.
Yeah, try Googling me. You cannot.
Yeah. There's one Samantha Mogab. That's it. That's it.
How off the rails is she when she's spending her time in a Facebook group called My Name is Kristen Williams?
You got a point. I mean, you got a point.
She sounds like she's really.
Do you know what other Facebook group I spend a lot of time in, Bob Ruff? The Truth and
What's
Justice
that?
Discussion group.
That's the wrong one.
No, the good one.
Isn't that the one where everybody hates me?
No, it's the good one.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the bad one where everybody hates
there's
you.
There's a bad
Screw
one?
Them. Yes,
there's
there
a few.
Is. But Bob, I just have to tell you, I have been such a fan of yours for like 5 years. This is really exciting for me to be here today.
Well, I appreciate that. Where were you the first 2 years?
What do you mean?
Well,
oh,
you said for five
okay.
years, I was.
I got into you. I got into you during season two. So I was looking okay. for stuff on Serial, found the first one. You blew my mind. I've actually used you as a source because we covered that case. And so like half the things I said was like, Bob Ruff says blah, blah, blah. but I was there like step by step through the entire Ed Ates case, like from beginning to end. I like since he was Ed Attes, I think is what you Ed, you called
right.
at the beginning. And that was probably the coolest experience I've had like within the true crime podcasting community, like. Being there from when you were just stumbling into his story to he's out of prison was very exciting. And I'm sorry for everybody wasn't a part of that.
Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. It was an amazing journey, obviously, for me, too. And you'd think, Mogab, a fellow that has a story like that wouldn't have a group with like thousands of people in it just to hate me. But I do.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who you were.
I'm in the good one. I'm in the good one.
That's hurtful. That hurts a little.
No, I mean, but that's the whole thing. I literally can't know.
She's the true crime newbie. That was like nothing. The whole podcast started because I was telling her actually about the case I'm going to tell you today. It ended up being our very first episode. And I was telling her about it. And she said, you should start a podcast. And I'd been wanting to start a podcast for like 5 years. And I said, I swear, Bob, that I heard her say, we should start a podcast. I swear she said we.
Yeah.
But so I said, you'll do it with me? She said, okay.
No. She said no.
She said, I guess.
I said no several times before that.
You never said no. You said, I guess.
Bridge version.
It sounds like Kristen's kind of a bully.
Yeah, well,
fucking
you know.
Willie. Jeez.
Look, I
but
knew
it's
she
fine.
Perfect.
She can be. She can be a bully because her last name's Williams.
I knew she'd be perfect for it, Bob, and she is.
Yeah, well, it's a cool concept because your whole shtick, Mogab, is that you don't know anything.
Correct.
Right. Like you just you come in and we listen to Kristen tell you a story.
Yep.
Yes.
And then you react to it.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant.
Thank you.
And super easy for you.
Yes. Very low, low risk. No, it's high risk, whatever. I don't have to do a lot of work, but it's high risk.
You fumbling through that sentence makes me wonder what you do for a living.
Yeah. Yeah, we should.
So what do you do for a living?
Yeah, I was going to say, we shouldn't get that. I am a professional sorority woman. I work for my sorority's international headquarters.
Oh, what does that mean?
That means I work with women on the alumni membership experience and lifetime engagement, alumni dues, all of that fun stuff. So the sorority that
I'm
Kristen
pretty sure
and I
you're saying alumni wrong.
No.
Oh, she'll fight you on that.
And I will take you to the grave, Bob Ruff. Alumni for a men's organization, mm-hmm. alumni for women.
Really?
Yeah. Bet you didn't know.
I disagree.
Well,
I disagree.
You know, it seems like you and I are really getting off to a great start.
Right.
Here's how we settle this. There's one right answer to this question. There's no mm-hmm. way it wasn't going to come up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles, obviously.
Oh, thank God. Great, you passed. That's all I care about.
Yeah, so we're best friends.
Because before she was a professional sorority woman, Mogab, what did you do for 10 years?
I worked at the Waffle House, and that has become a whole part of our personal brand on the podcast. So okay. We have a lot of Waffle House content. And our Facebook discussion group is basically Waffle House Facebook discussion.
Listen, I'm about to piss you off again. because Waffle House, not my favorite waffles. I got to be honest with you.
Oh.
What the hell's wrong with their waffles?
Well, oh, I'm sorry. Who's your preferred waffle vendor?
you know, just your mom and pop little greasy spoon that's got like the, you know,
Bob,
like the malted.
There is
crispy
no greasier
waffles.
Spoon. I can assure you there is no greasier
spoon.
Oh,
I've listen. I've never not had diarrhea after I ate the Waffle House, but the waffles are by the way not a sponsor of
but please do the
waffles are like cake. They don't taste like a waffle. Like the blueberry waffle is like a cake in a waffle iron.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go with the added, listen, that's all new school. You got to go to the OG or the pecan. Those are the only originals.
Oh, so the blueberry, that's my problem. I didn't go with the OG.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, maybe I give them another try. I always try the blueberry ones. I forget. I only go to a Waffle House once every several years. I'll stumble into one when I'm like remotely working on a case somewhere. And I'm like, oh, and I forget every, I'm like, ooh, blueberry waffle sounds delicious. That sounds fucking amazing.
That's where you want.
And then I get it. And then I remembered how much I dislike the Waffle House's blueberry waffles.
Uh-huh. Was the case you're typically working on occurring at the Waffle House in the moment?
Because... Most of, I have a whole series of Waffle House murders.
What the heck?
I thought, first of all, I thought that would get a laugh. It didn't, which is
because
embarrassing.
Because
we're like, are you joking or no? Because it could be real.
That's believable.
Yeah. Well, then right after I said it, I thought, I bet you could do, there's a Burger Chef murder thing, right? You could do, there's probably.
Yeah. We've done an episode on crimes that happen at a Waffle House for our Patreon.
I know about like three of them personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking back to, I can think of at least two cases where a Waffle House was involved. Like. The guy, you know, the police were sitting at the Waffle House when the perpetrator drove by.
Yeah.
Must give him a discount, because otherwise, why would they be sitting there eating those shitty blueberry waffles?
Yeah.
Me too. But still work there.
What did you do at the Waffle House that led you into your sorority job?
What did you not do at the Waffle House? It's one job. You do it all. You cook, you clean.
You wait tables.
Like onion rings. I mean, it's like you do the whole thing.
So I thought you were like in some like regional manager of Southwest Waffle. So you just made the shitty blueberry waffles.
Yeah. Like
that was your job. You made
your
waffles.
Dirty ass plate. Too.
Right. And then took my money. And then you took my money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and you better tip
you moved
me.
Up in the world.
Yeah, I did.
Well, I always tip the wait. I always tip well at the waffle because I feel like God. To have to serve such shitty blueberry waffles day in and day out and have such upset customers, it's got to be a hard job. So
I'm
going
to need
you
to go back.
Usually.
I'm going to need you to try a regular waffle and report back. Absolutely. And be honest. Just a regular.
Just a standard.
Yeah.
Look, let me tell you what I'm looking for in a waffle. I'm looking for crispy on the outside, kind of fluffy on the inside. Is that a Waffle House waffle I'm describing? Because it sure as fuck isn't the blueberry one.
No, but that's a Belgian waffle. Robert,
obviously
a regular waffle.
Yeah,
that's different.
So they don't make a Belgian waffle at the Waffle House.
No, America's
it's not even an option.
Food.
You got one kind of waffle.
One kind.
You got,
don't ever complicate.
Literally in your name, you would think going into a Waffle House. Listen, this is we may have to do a side.
This is
discussion
right.
on this
so
later.
Sorry.
Just like we're solid 15 minutes in and we're still on the Waffle House. Just, you know, do better, Waffle House.
Okay. All right. Fine. Is that not what we're supposed to talk about today?
I thought it's my notes just say Waffle House written in really big letters all the way across it.
So glad about that.
Kristen, so are you in Columbus now, Mogab?
No, I'm not. Gave
or you're
up.
In Texas?
No. Keep guessing. I'm in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
In Kentucky. I'm going to drive through there next week.
Oh my gosh, you should get Waffle House.
I should stop at a Waffle House. You know what?
Because
they don't have them around here in Michigan. I don't know if they have them up north and just not by me, but they're...
No, not
I always
really.
Find them down south.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I bet you through Kentucky and Nashville, I can find a Waffle House. Okay. The trick is going to be... My wife thinks she's bougie, and if I'm like, let's go to a Waffle House, she's going to be like, do they have gluten-free waffles and yeah. veggie platters?
Don't order a salad there.
They don't. No, I wouldn't. But I'll see if I can talk her into checking out. You know what? I'm meeting my dad down there, and you know who will go check out a Waffle House?
Your dad.
I sort of buried the lead there. Yeah, it's my dad is the one that would for sure... I went to a shitty place for breakfast with him this morning. That's kind of our thing. Every Friday, we go to a shitty place and have breakfast.
That's part of the whole brand. Are you going to Louisville or Lexington? Or can you tell us?
I'll drive right through Louisville. Louisville. Louisville?
Ooh, Louisville. Say it like you got something
Louisville.
In your mouth. Whoa.
Louisville.
Okay, hit me up. Louisville. Hit me up. We'll have waffles. I almost said tacos.
I'll
cruise through. Whole other thing.
On my way to Nashville, I always drive through Louisville, and there's like a big baseball stadium I always see, and I'm like, that looks like a nice baseball stadium.
Yes, Louisville Sluggers.
And then I just keep
on
driving.
Keep on going. Don't even think about us little people.
To Nashville. So here's the thing is, like, Erica fucked up. She said that you're from Texas, and now she's ruined the whole show.
Well, I am
she says you're engaged.
From Texas, yes.
You're from Texas. It literally says, lives in Texas.
God, I wish. That's because that's not Erica's fault. That's all I claim. Nobody says that. That's not Erica's fault. Oh, that's all I claim is Texas. Like, ride or die all day.
She has a waffle iron in the shape of Texas. She has two, actually.
Is it a Belgian waffle iron or, that or one a is, shitty
yeah,
waffle
actually.
House waffle
it's iron? A, it's yeah. a Texas-Belgian waffle iron. Two versions.
Gotcha. You already said you're engaged, and Erica says you have a dog. Is that still accurate?
God, the best dog, yes. Thank you for asking.
The best dog? Well, I make it. What dog is it? What kind of dog?
Well, he's a golden chow mix is what we say. He's got a fully black tongue. He's like part chow chow. He's like, honestly,
we did a DNA test on the show and it did not come back the way we expected. So we just claimed golden.
Did you
chow.
Find out he was Scottish?
It's like a boxer. Looks like a golden retriever. He's usually right outside the door here leaning up against it. Mm-hmm. But it says like boxer Doberman. I mean, like, this is a long haired dog. It's not any of those things. So they obviously dropped the swab on the concrete outside before they tested it is our guess.
Yes. Yeah,
I think that's enough dog talk. Kristen, as though I wasn't the one that brought it.
We could go on and on, but.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
Well, Kristen, I am told, is a cat person and has two cats named Effie and Trinket.
I do, and they're so accurate? Cute. Yes, that is accurate. Good job, Erica.
We love Erica.
You know,
here.
We had, last night, I'm sitting out in my office, and I get a text from my, now, we live out in the country. And yesterday, for the last 2 days, I on my way out from the house to the office, my commute to work, it's about 60 feet. And there was a cat outside, which I will never have another cat as long as I live. but I'm an animal lover. So I was like, oh, it's like a kitten. What a cute little cat.
Yeah.
And I got down and I knelt down, didn't invade its space. It's kind of feral, you know, it's 15 feet away from me. And I said, kitty, 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 kitty. And the cat went.
Yes.
It as fucking
a
hissed
feral
at me.
Cat, yes.
From 15 feet away. I wasn't anywhere near it. I wasn't even I was just seeing if it wanted to come to me, as you do when you meet a strange animal. It was an asshole and it hissed at me. And so I said, fuck you, cat. And I came to work. And then last night at like 10 o'clock, my wife is texting me. She's like, there's a kitten in our garage. And I said, that's how my wife's texts sound. She said, there's a kitten in our garage. And I said, leave that fucking cat alone. And she's like, I gave it some ham. I'm like, God damn it. Why are you?
Gave it some ham.
She gave it sliced ham. And then she's like, oh, yeah. And it bit me and I'm bleeding.
Oh,
and,
no.
Which is,
oh,
that's no. bad with a with a cat bite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily, seems to be taken care
out.
Of.
Like, yeah.
Poured peroxide on and stuff. No signs of infection. So I think she's okay with that. But that's how much of an asshole this is. It bit her in the hand
after
while
else?
She was feeding it ham. She's
the
feeding
cat must
it
be
ham.
So
and it bit
scared.
Her.
Oh,
what's
poor
it got
thing.
To be afraid of? It's out in the great outdoors. You know what it could be?
Eating ham.
We just spent a bunch of money on landscaping, and there's all this stuff to like keep the weeds from coming up. And my house is surrounded by these little chipmunk looking gophers that keep burrowing holes in it and letting weeds out. Eat those. If you keep feeding it ham, it's not going to eat the gophers.
Right.
Wait.
Right.
This, I just have to say this. Chipmunks, I never saw them until I moved to Columbus. Like, we don't have those in Texas. And when I saw one, I asked, what is that? And someone said a chipmunk. And I thought that chipmunks were like a made up, like, you know, Alvin and the Chipmunks. Like, I didn't know those existed. Like, I thought it was like a made up animal.
Right.
I wonder why it took you so long to get out of the Waffle House.
There, I know.
I'm just wondering. I just, for some reason, that just popped.
Did it just click for you?
Good. Yeah, it just popped into my head. But the thing is that what I have going on in my house, they're fake chipmunks. Like, we just did a family vacation to Montana, and we're up in the mountains, and there's chipmunks, the little adorable little things.
Yeah.
And they're used to people, like at the state part of the national parks, and they'll eat a peanut out of your hands, and they're cute little suckers. These are little fucking gophers that make tunnels and holes underneath all my landscaping, but they look like a chipmunk so that you think they're like cute, but they're not. They're assholes. And if that asshole cat didn't have a belly full of ham, then maybe he'd get rid of some of these gophers.
Right.
Listen, that cat's not on your agenda. Does your front yard, Bob, just look like the scene from Caddyshack? Like little gopher trails?
Yeah, just Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Asshole. Stupid gophers. Anyway, so Effie and Trinket, your lovely little cats.
Yes. I've had them a year. They are
menaces. They're menaces.
I really got them because I'm just
Are they not... siblings?
They are. They are. They're littermates and they look copy-paste. Like, they look exactly the same, but backwards. So only I can tell them apart.
Wait. They look the same, but backwards?
Yeah, like opposite. Like, their markings are like the opposite.
Oh, gotcha. Like, so like mirror image, I think is what you were looking for.
Yes, that's it.
As though they were staring into a mirror.
Correct.
And so you, the most important thing I see in here is that you're a huge fan of me.
Yes.
Of course.
I am. That's accurate.
Which is the, And that's it. It's just you're a huge fan of me and you have two cats.
Those are the most important points, Bob. My cats and you. That's the big parts of my life. Right.
I love this. This is a great picture.
What are you? Where are you? Are you in a bedroom?
Look, Bob. Okay.
Burn. Yikes.
I bought this house. I bought this house 2 years ago. This is this is.
I haven't unpacked yet.
Look, Bob. Listen. I cleaned up a little bit for you, too. This is a spare bedroom.
Wait a minute. The listeners can't see what I see. When you say cleaned up, you cleaned up like my kids. I can see, I can see the pile behind you.
It's covered.
Where it appears you took.
Can you tell that I covered the pile with a cover?
Yes. Obviously. It looks like you threw a bunch of shit on the couch.
No, it was already there. The stuff was already on the couch.
And you just threw a comforter over it and you didn't like neatly tuck it so it looked like it was supposed to be there. You're just like, no one will see this.
I did do that.
That's so stressful.
That's the way I live my life. Look, okay, this is a spare bedroom. I have a built-in bed over here and then a like day bed over here. I recently got a new roommate and I needed to clean out the closet in her room for her. Uh-huh. And so all of that ended up in here and I'm supposed to be going through it. This is stuff that I'm going to be either selling or putting away. And neither of those things have happened yet. So this is where we're at right now.
Okay. I've got a heart out in like 17 minutes. We got to get into this case, but I'm sorry. I just looked at the clock. This is the fucking Waffle House thing. I didn't have that.
It was my last name, Bob.
Yeah, right. But so your roommate doesn't live in your room.
No, she lives in the guest room. Well, it's her room now.
Right, yes.
But I have two guests. It's a three bedroom. So she lives in one of the guest rooms. This is the other guest room. And then I also have a bedroom.
So you're in a guest room. Yes. Okay. I was wondering why you have two beds in your room.
Well, they had this built-in bed here and then I had the day bed and I just like this piece of furniture. I probably should have just sold it and not moved it in here, but
it looks real nice.
It would, it does.
Bob is over here like some freshman dorm shit right here.
It's what it looks like. There's two beds in the frame. Yeah. I can see one on each side of her. One of them's covered up with a bunch of shit.
That's amazing.
That's basically it.
Okay, so let's get to the business, I guess.
All right.
No, so I do want to talk about your podcast. So it's True Crime Keepers.
True Crime Creepers.
That's what I said, True Crime Creepers. And you, Kristen, are the True Crime Creeper. You're a fanatic. You love true crime. Yep. You convinced poor Mogab to join
to
you.
To come every week and listen to a horrible story, yes.
Was it now? Once again, my listeners are probably sick of me asking this, but it's like every three out of four podcasts started in 2020. Were you like in the heart of the pandemic and had nothing else to do when you started the podcast?
No, I was back. It was like October 2020, so I was back at work. I'm a teacher, and we were like back at work. It was almost. It was really actually a terrible time because I'm like virtual teaching plus teaching in person. Like, I guess I needed something else to focus on, though, and it really did help with that because it was a tough time. And this kind of gave me something to like look forward to doing. It was good.
That's awesome. And you were able to convince Samantha Mogab.
Yeah.
It says Samantha on my screen, and you want me to call you this silly name.
Mogab.
But you convinced her to join you in the podcast.
That's it.
And now you release every Thursday.
Uh-huh, yes.
Have you guys been doing that right from the beginning, or did you have like the classic new podcast, like you do it a little bit, think this is too much, maybe I'm not going to do it, and then get back into it?
No, I did. So I've been listening to like this, like our format, two female co-hosts, you know, true crime forever. It's like, I've done so much research on it. I knew exactly what we wanted to do. We have decided that we will take breaks throughout the year just so that we avoid the burnout. So we took a big long break in June, came back in July, and we'll do that again at the Christmas time. But otherwise, it's every Thursday unless, you know, something unexpected happens. So
I get it. I took a break from one of my podcasts in 2017, and I'll be getting back to it soon.
Oh, awesome.
Get it.
I think I lost you for a second.
You guys are the worst.
Sorry. I lost you for a second.
You cut out.
You cut out. So that was not on us.
Oh.
Did we just miss another joke? Like,
God damn. Zoom ruined your punchline.
Oh. I wouldn't have laughed anyway.
It's you know how much less funny it is when I, because the thing is, it didn't cut out for the people listening to this, so they just heard me say it to fucking crickets.
We'll just cut it. We'll cut it to us laughing later.
No,
that's what I do. That's what I do.
I'm not going to repeat it. You have to listen. You got to download the podcast when it airs and listen to it.
Obviously, I will be doing that the second it drops.
Mogab's the kind of lady that wants to hear what she sounds like. You really hear how she came off when she listens back to it, and she won't tell you.
No, she's the she does not. I'm the one that's like obsessive about it.
That's what she tells.
No, I can't.
I can't do it.
My voice is terrible.
Everybody thinks
their voice is terrible.
I know, but like, you know.
Yours is the only fucking voice that
like
you got it right, and every other
like God really took his time with my voice.
All right, so you've been going pretty strong for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. Thursdays, True Crime Creepers, and we're going to talk today about a case that you covered in your very first episode 1. Covered the Richard Glossop case.
Yes.
And I know Mogab is not the one that's going to explain the case to me.
No. We'll see how much she remembers of it.
I'm going to need a refresher. So.
Nice. It's nice to see that you brushed up before you came on the show.
I can't remember it, you know?
I know. I tell him just like, you'll just be like, oh yeah, I remember that. This is a case that I'm really excited to talk about. It's a case that's very near and dear to my heart. And this is the case of Richard Glossop. He is currently on death row in Oklahoma with an execution date set for September 22nd, 2022. And I don't know when this is going to drop, but that is like 2 months from today that we're recording. This story really starts with the murder of Barry Van Treese. He was the owner of these three really rundown motels around Oklahoma that were called the Best Budget Inn. And as they were very...
There's a Waffle House right next. I guarantee you there was a Waffle House in the parking lot.
Do you know what actually was in the parking lot at the Oklahoma City location was a strip club. So you're not far off, but a lot of shady stuff went down there. Drug activity, sex work, all that kind of stuff. Richard Glossop was the manager of that motel, and he made about $1,500 a month working there. He had room and board in an apartment behind the motel where he lived with his girlfriend, Deanna. And he'd been managing the motel there for about 2 years. He'd often, you know, received bonuses for meeting and exceeding expectations. Barry was a pretty hands-off owner. He'd stop by the motel a couple times a month to check out the property and pay his staff and that kind of thing. But mostly Richard was responsible for the day-to-day operations. So on the night of January 6th, 1997, Barry stopped by the Oklahoma City Motel around 6 p.m. and he took care of some things that he needed to do. He was there for a couple of hours. Richard had given him about $3,000 in cash that he had gotten out of the drawers when he closed him down that night at the motel. It was
a cash business motel, right?
If you couldn't tell.
Right.
It was a cash.
By the hour type of thing.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Barry would end up putting the cash under the driver's seat of his car. And this wasn't unusual for him. He had a bunch of money in the trunk, too. The maintenance man at the motel was a 19-year-old named Justin Sneed, who had been there for about 3 months at this time. He dropped out of school in the eighth grade, and he now worked with a roofing crew on occasion, and he did handyman repair work and stuff for the motel. By the time he was 19, by this time, he'd already had several violent acts on his arrest record, and we now know that he had a very severe addiction to meth. Like, he was eating it at this point, injecting it straight into his veins. It was really bad.
Can you eat meth?
I don't know, and I didn't Google it, but that's what it said in the report, so.
But he ate
meth. He was, yeah, it said he was eating it. Around 4 a.m., Justin Sneed showed up at Glossop's apartment behind the motel with a black eye, banging on the door. He told Richard Glossop that a window had been blown out in room 102 because some drunks had been fighting in there. And Glossop told him, you know, you're the maintenance man, go fix the window. So Glossop then asked Sneed what happened to his eye. Why did he have a black eye? And according to Glossop, Sneed turned to him and said, oh, I killed Barry. Glossop said that Sneed was a really odd guy and he'd told really wild stories before. So he thought this was his idea of a joke. He kind of looked out into the parking lot to see if Barry's car was there and it wasn't there. So he just thought it was a joke and he didn't take him seriously. The next morning, Glossop realized that Sneed's idea of fixing the window was to like hang a shower curtain over it from the outside. So around 8:30 that morning, he and Justin Sneed covered the window with plexiglass until they could get the window repaired. But the curtains were drawn in the room, and so he couldn't see in the room at all.
That's the part that tripped me up before. But I do think you can repair a window from the outside.
Well, they weren't repairing it. They were just covering the window with the plexiglass. Right.
So I remember thinking before, like, how do you not see into a room?
Right.
You know? But I think that you could. Yeah. I think you could do that.
Yeah. So Glossop left work early that afternoon to run some errands, including buying his girlfriend an engagement ring, which would end up being terrible timing. The police would later use that as evidence that he had used money stolen from Barry. But the ring only cost $100. So everybody calm down.
It's a Waffle House ring.
Right.
Well, we would never.
So people start to notice that Barry's missing. Police arrive at the hotel and Cliff Everhart, this guy who's a bounty hunter slash security guard, came with them. And around 10 p.m. that night, he and a police officer, so Everhart and a police officer, went to search room 102 and they found a very grisly scene. Barry's body was in there covered in blood. The walls were covered in blood, the floors, the bed. The scene showed that Barry really put up one hell of a fight, but he was overpowered. The head detective on this case was named Bob Bemo, and he's nearly as infuriating to me as like he's like Ritson McGillivray level infuriating. Bemo.
And not Syed.
Bemo interviewed a few witnesses on the scene and several people brought up Justin Sneed as a possible suspect. But by the time Barry's body was found, Sneed was gone. He'd fled the scene. He'd disappeared. So now Bemo sets his sights on the manager of the motel, Richard Glossop, after Cliff Everhart, the bounty hunter slash security guard, kind of pointed his finger at Richard. He'd grown increasingly suspicious of him, saying that he had given several inconsistent statements. But the main inconsistency that was used against him was that a couple people said that Glossop had told them he'd seen Barry that morning at 7, but he'd told police he'd last seen him the night before. And Richard says that he had told everybody that he'd last seen Barry Van Treese at 7:30 the night before, and people were just mixing up a.m. and p.m. And so this really wasn't the inconsistency that it was made out to be. But Bemo was convinced that he was involved, so he brought him in for an interrogation and had a really bad impression of him in this interrogation, thought he was very arrogant. He said he had a very cocky attitude and like a very you'll never catch me kind of a thing. But really, it's just him saying, I didn't do this. And Bemo is just getting really pissed off. By this time, Justin Sneed's fingerprints had been found all over room 102. Later, his DNA would come back on money stolen from Barry's car. They knew that Sneed had committed the actual murder. They were still out looking for him, but that didn't stop them from continuing their investigation of Glossop. Bemo told him, you know, if Justin Sneed brings your name up in this thing, you're going down for first degree murder.
Oh, this makes me so mad.
I know. And during a second interrogation, Glossop's story does have one pretty significant change. This time he tells them about when Sneed came to his door and told him that he'd killed Barry. And he says now that he was planning on telling them earlier, but then BMO started accusing him of committing the murder, and so he just really didn't want to tell them anything. And the police were just really suspicious about why it had taken him so long to tell them this. So on January 14th, a week after the murder, police finally managed to track Justin Snead down, and they brought him in. And the first thing he asks when he's being interrogated is, what's the maximum sentence for murder one, which is what he was being charged with? And they tell him the death penalty. And he says he was afraid of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean,
I'm gonna jump us ahead a little bit because I do have to run here in 4 minutes, and I wasted a lot of time with MoGab and Waffle Talk.
Okay.
And I don't want to give away your whole first episode.
I'll sum it up a little bit in 4 minutes. So basically, the only evidence they have against him is Justin Snead says that he did it after the police gave him Richard's name. He never brought up Richard's name until the police gave it to him. And $1,700 that they can't actually connect to the money that was missing from Barry's car, but they said that that was the money. And that's all. That's all the evidence they have. He's on death row. Right. He's going to be executed on September 22nd unless something happens and it stops.
Well, and he went through because he was convicted. Mm-hmm.
He's appealed
sentenced to death.
Like so many times.
The conviction was overturned once.
Yep.
And then was tried again and convicted again, and the appeals have been denied. He was going to be executed a while back, right?
Yeah, he was going to be executed three times. He spent three last meals, three nights that he thought were his last. The last execution was in 2015, and they halted all executions. Like the day of his execution, they decided halt all executions because they had botched two injections, and so they needed to figure out what was wrong. But
something was wrong with the drug.
Yeah, they announced in February of 2020 that they're resuming executions, and he's basically first on the list. And so there are legislators in Oklahoma that have come together, like a group of 30 of them, that are all like, they have a 340-page report on why he's innocent. And so I just can't believe that he's going to actually die this time. I just don't think that I think he's going to live through a fourth execution date, but it's very scary, and I'm very sad about it because it's just, he's innocent.
And what are
they
we
don't
doing
have any
at
proof.
That point? What like, are we doing at that point? Four of them? Like, what are we doing, y'all?
I know.
Yeah, and the case is even more complex than that. You can get that on episode one of True Crime Keepers. That's the name of the podcast. Their names are Kristen and MoGab. Check out True Crime Keepers. It could be your next big true crime binge. Ladies, thank you so much for joining
me. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weber. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X at Truth Justice Pod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney. And Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.